Welcome to another edition of Aesthetic Revolution, the podcast. I'm Dr. Ed Zimmerman, your host, and Stacey Taylor Zimmerman, our host, hostess with the mostest and associate producer and all that kind of good stuff, who keeps me from diving down rabbit holes as we explore aesthetic issues from the forehead to the feet with a concentration in between. Today is another one of those in-between topics. We're going to be talking about natural breast contouring and enlargement and reduction and things like that. So, breasts. More than, 100% of patients who walk through my door have them or had them at some point in their lives. And for the female component, we've done another podcast that talks about gynecomastia in men. And now we want to give at least equal play to the women in our practice because we see more gals than guys, but quite a few guys. We have the highs and lows. So let's run the numbers.
Okay.
You know, they're about somewhere in the range of a bit over 100,000 breast reduction surgeries done in the United States each year. That's quite a few.
Yeah.
And there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 365,000 breast enlargement procedures done in the United States each year. And more than 200,000 of those are a remove and replace of a previous breast implant. But what do you do with the gal who wants a little more or a little less or has an asymmetry? Or, you know, those are the ones that you send me every day to deal with. And so we see a variety of those, and we deal with those in our nationally accredited operating room in our office, so people have a lot of privacy. And each one is different, so they're kind of fun. So send me something.
All right. Well, first of all, I feel like a big population of the patients that we see are patients who are cancer survivors and probably have, they do have some asymmetry, whether one breast has been removed, the other one was left intact. And so they're trying to even it out in a more natural way. They don't want to have an implant put in, and they're wanting to have it, you know, look more even with that. And I would say that is, I think, our biggest population when it comes to breast contour for women. And it's amazing what you're able to do with that. I mean,
well, thank you. You know, I think part of that is the fact that fat is a repository for stem cells. It has more stem cells per cubic centimeter than bone marrow does. And so when you take fat as a living graft, and you can get a 50 to 70% take in that area, unless someone's going on a diet and they get their GLP-1s and, you know, they lose massive amounts of weight. But for someone whose weight is pretty even and they're not exercise fanatics, and they're not smokers, you can move fat from somewhere else. You can snatch in the waist, or you can take fat from all around the torso, get rid of the bra roll fat, maybe do some arm fat, whatever. Purify it, clean it up, get rid of all the broken cells, the red blood cells, the tumescent fluid, all those kinds of things. We've had segments on liposculpting, so we'll refer you to those for that. But, you know, that said, the two sides, the girls are sisters, but they're never identical twins to begin with, either because of chest wall asymmetry, muscle development asymmetry, whatever it may be. And, you know, the two sides come together. One sits higher than the other. One has more projection than the other. The nipple areolar complex points a different direction. These are all normal. They're part of the beauty that women bring to the table. We can improve symmetry, and we can certainly improve the skin texture and some of the tethers and things like that for gals who've gone through radiation or chemo or things. But it started out treating gals who were totally normal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now that we are moving fat, and with the fat, we're adding stem cells, we're adding suppleness to the tissue. And it's generally when we're doing someone where we're rebuilding a breast with or without a implant that's in place, because we can put fat under the shell of the skin is the most obvious place to put it, because it has a better vascular plexus. If you weave fat into fat, there's not a lot of vascular support for it. There's not a lot of lymphatic drainage to take the waste products of cellular survival away. And of course, we don't want to be putting fat into the muscle because the large blood vessels that are there could lead to an embolic event, so we never want to go there. Mm-hmm. So we're very careful when we're grafting fat. But we can work from tiny incisions in the anterior and sometimes posterior axillary folds, from the inframammary fold, and sometimes from the nipple-areolar complex. We can just hide a little incision. And the incisions heal up, and after a year, they're almost invisible. And we're able to gently to mess the breast, having marked it when they were standing up, so they're marked under gravity. And we can elevate, release and elevate and hydrodissect the tissue a little bit at a time. And then in that space and the retrograde, fill in with macro fat or structural fat. And then we can fill in between the structural fat tiny parcels with a little bit of micro fat. And then we can add some of your own platelet-rich plasma to fertilize it and gel and hold everything in place. And then we can swart it, and voila. And over time, whatever you get at 4 to 6 months is pretty much fat that you're going to keep for years. And it, the fat goes a little bit into hibernation when you move it because it's cut off from its circulation, its oxygen supply, its food supply, its waste removal. The fat cells get smaller. And then over the course of another 4 to 6 months, the fat cells get to wherever they're going to equilibrate and come back. So it takes about a year to really see the full results of any particular fat grafting, at least in my hands. Mm-hmm. And then we can kind of go back and examine things. But this all started, obviously, with liposuction when we started that over 20 years ago. And, you know, I went for training with Alfredo Hoyos in Colombia for high-def lipo. And, you know, high-def lipo is a state of mind, and we can apply the principles of that, not just to guys, but to gals. And so for gals, you know, we certainly can do sculpting. And one of the things that I love to do is to create kind of a sinuous curvature where we get rid of all the lateral fat, the side boob, as it were, and really snatch in that armpit and get rid of the lower armpit fat that hangs down. And that makes the breast appear to project more nicely. And that's how we start to gain our symmetry, because the two breasts may, one may pancake, one may project. We can start to, you know, really see where they're at. So that all starts with evaluating the breasts. So when people come in, we go through the series of pictures, arms behind, arms to the side, things like that, arms up. And then we do a very complex evaluation called a boob dip, where we have a large bucket of warm water and an outside bucket that has no water, and we have gals lean over the same amount each time, and we see how much water is displaced. So we can guesstimate the volume of the breast on each side. We take an average of 3 measurements, and we can see how much difference there is in volume. There are more sophisticated ways to do that with 3-dimensional photography now, but this works, and it's always available. So, you know, we do our boob dip still, and we're able to see which breast has more volume than the other. And then we're able to mark the breast. So we mark it both a grid, up and down and sideways, so vertical and horizontal lines, and then a bullseye around that, based around the nipple areolar complex. We measure from the midline because sometimes one nipple will be further over. But by the time you have the bullseye and the grid, you can really see where there's areas of deficit or areas of extension. And so where there's areas of deficit, if one boob is 100 cc's larger than the other, we can either take 100 cc's from the larger boob, or we can add 100 plus cc's to the smaller boob when we start. And then we start to do our enlargement or reduction. Hmm. So that's kind of, you know, cool. But, you know, if you have implants in place and you just want a little more, you like your current body weight, your hormones are changing, or you've had a couple of babies, so the upper pole of the breast is getting a little bit of a ski slope or something like that, natural breast enhancement is a natural. There's usually some fat that you can steal from somewhere and use that as a donor site. So you do your liposuction, and then you have tissue of donor tissue available that can be cleaned up and grafted into the area where you desire. So it may just be from the upper part of the nipple areolar complex upwards from the anterior axillary fold so that you have a nice curvature this way and this way to give you some fullness. And that can go above, carefully, above a implant, doesn't matter if it's saline or silicone. Mm-hmm. And the insertion sites are virtually invisible after a year.
So what you're saying is that over time, our breasts start to sag, mm-hmm. and what you can do is put some fat in over in the upper part of the breast and kind of start to give that definition back that you had originally when you had perky boobs.
Yep. Well, the neat thing about fat is it's like sculpting clay. You can recreate a nice cleavage, because mm-hmm. Some breasts sit farther apart on the chest wall. And certainly when we put breast implants under the muscle, if we try to push them too close together, you get a uniboob.
Right.
So you tend to keep your pockets further apart. Well, then you've got this broad space in between where it just looks flat. And we've all seen that on the red carpets for Hollywood and stuff. You can tell if their implants are under the muscle. Probably a good idea for a lot of these more slender gals because they don't have enough fat above it to hide the edges of the implant. So you would really see the outline of the implant. So those go under the muscle. But they consequently have no real cleavage. They have this wide valley in between. You can bring some fat in and sculpt that fat in so that the breast looks a lot more natural. Or someone who's got some old saline implants where the lateral parts are showing, they're above the muscle, and the lateral folds, ripples are showing, we can graft some fat into the side with the being careful that we don't build a lot of side boob, because no one likes to have that boob rubbing against their arms as they're moving.
Mm-hmm.
So
let me stop you real quick. So
okay.
One of the funny things, being a woman, we always say, I wish my body, you know, if I was going to gain weight, I could gain it in my boobs instead of in my behind or thighs. So when you graft fat mm-hmm. and you put it in the breast, people are always going to ask, oh, if I gain weight, will my boobs get bigger?
Yes, more than likely.
Okay.
The fat has a memory from whence it came, and you are most likely to gain weight in those areas. So good or bad. And,
yeah.
You know, our best fat is the guacamole fat, so to speak. It's the fat that's there after you've been stranded on a desert island for a year having nothing but water and fish. The fat you have left then is genetically programmed to stick around. That's the fat, if it's out of proportion in some other part of your body, that I really want to move, because that's the fat that's going to last.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fat's going to go up as your body weight goes up, so the proportion is maintained. It's going to go down as your body weight goes down,
mm-hmm.
so the proportion is maintained. The fat cells are still there, but they're going to deflate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the good and the bad of it, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, natural breast enhancement, we can add about a cup size at a time. If you try to add more than that at a time, you're putting so much fat in that you're getting compression of the fat cells, and there isn't enough nutrition and oxygen to go around, so some of those fat cells die. When fat cells die, they kind of turn into an oil, which becomes an irritant and an inflammatory component, and you can get some woodiness or fibrosis to the tissue. So we're very careful about weaving the fat into the tissue. But that said, we can put, you know, anywhere from 300 to 1100 cc's of fat into that subsurface, that subdermal plexus of the envelope of a breast. So that's per side, based on the size of the breast. So smaller breasts, we can't put as much in at a time, and you can't just squirt it in and just get a pool of fat. That's instant necrotic death.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to carefully weave this fat in just below the skin, not in the muscle. You can go above the surface of the muscle, not in the existing fat, certainly not in the glandular elements. It does not preclude breastfeeding, by the way. So, you know, you can have fat grafting, go ahead and still be able to, if you were able to breastfeed mm-hmm. your baby, chances are you're still going to be able to breastfeed your baby.
Well, that's good. That is another question that's
You're just going to have bigger boobs after the pregnancy.
Right.
So that's something that's important. The preparation of the fat is very important. So you can't just pull the fat out and put it back in. The fat you've pulled out of its natural support system. So you've disconnected it from the lifelines, the blood vessels that feed it, oxygenate it, take away the carbon dioxide and the waste products and all those things. So you've got to clean the fat down. And the packets that we put in are probably a millimeter to a millimeter and a half is the max size of macro or structural fat. From there, we break it down all the way down to under 400 microns. And there's just a lot of rejuvenative cells and very few fat cells. Fat cells are 50 to 300 microns in that mix, in that milieu. And that's going to fill in some of the interstitial areas. And then we're going to pump some of your own platelet-rich plasma in there that has all the healing factors and gels in place when it sees this new raw fat. And that helps hold everything in place. A great way to both take someone who's got an asymmetry or who's had a breast cancer, maybe they've had a partial mastopexy or a lumpectomy or something like that. That is a natural graft. It's pretty forgiving. And you don't have to have a big incision under the boob or around the areola or the armpit in order to get fat into an area. So it's certainly a consideration. It's not one we talk about a lot, but it really is a natural and nice way to, for the right patient to be able to increase their breast size or restore a breast that has had some issues. And the rejuvenative cells in it change skin that's tethered and hard to something that's much more supple and much more natural and forgiving. And it may take a series of sessions over, you know, 18 months or so to bring a breast up to a more natural contour compared to her sister, but it's worth the investment. You know, it doesn't look fake.
Well, as someone that's gone through breast cancer and a double mastectomy, I'm especially interested in our patients that come in that have also gone through that. And I'm just blown away at how amazing you can make their breast look after they have had such gross deformities from a lumpectomy. I mean, your work is amazing when it comes to this type of fat transfer to these breasts and really helping these women out. And
I've had some great teachers, so you know, it's my experience thrown in, but I've had some amazing teachers where I've picked up pearls of how to do this and kind of blended them in, and we're all learning all the time. So you know, that is fat grafting to the breast, particularly if the nipples are left in place. And you can throw in other more subtle things, a little donut mastopexy where you can kind of bring the nipple itself up on the breast mound a centimeter or so. Well, again, without leaving a big invisible incision, you can do some subtle things. But getting rid of the side boob and getting some projection and getting some upper pole fullness, I think are some of the secrets of having an aesthetic breast. And it tends to help restore a little bit of the sensation. You know, it helps the nerves grow back in. Your PRP does that. So you have angioneogenesis and the nerves grow back in as well. So that's part of that. That's very profoundly, it makes a difference in their life, put it that way. And, you know, and you can use PRP alone to help restore sensation and a little bit of fullness. But it, of course, doesn't have the power that actually putting macro and nano fat into an area has. Now, what about the gal who's too big? They have gigantomastia or macromastia, and they don't want to have an incision. You know, they just want the girls to be tapered down to exercise boobs. And, you know, liposculpting of the breast is a great consideration for that, recognizing that depending on what you want, you may end up with a pancake. Because you've deflated a large envelope and the skin can only retract so much, but we can selectively deflate the breast. We can leave, you know, the what you leave is as important as what you take. So we can leave more of the center of the tissue so that we have some nice cleavage. We get rid of the lateral side boob. We contour it nicely. So we get rid of the chicken nuggets up here at the armpit the gals hate. And we leave a little bit of projection. We don't take too much from the upper pole. And then if we need to, we use energy, plasma energy, Renuvion in this case. We've used over the 20 years lasers and radio frequency, monopolar, bipolar radio frequency. But helium plasma energy is really the cat's meow right now we have for reducing the fibroceptal network and getting this tissue to shrink wrap in. And the skin, you know, follows it. It's obviously, if it's an older gal, there's going to be some wrinkles. There's going to be, you know, it's not a perfect thing, mm-hmm. but it's way better than it was. And it gets these massive girls out of the way so you can restore your life. You can go to gym. You can wear clothing that's a little more revealing, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And we can sculpt one breast versus the other breast. Again, because of we estimate the volumes initially and we grid them out very carefully to see where the extra tissue is, we know where to remove the extra tissue. And then periodically during the procedure, we sit people up, we see how things are hanging after gravity, we lay them back down, we bind them and support them fairly well so the tissue can shrink in. Mm-hmm. Don't use any drains in this surgery, and there's no obvious incision. So the typical reduction mastopexy, which is an inframammary fold scar incision, followed by a vertical scar, followed by a lollipop, call it what you will, you know, that's a lot of incisions that need to heal, and they don't heal invisibly in some people. Mm-hmm. So this is a way to avoid some of that. Recognize that you may not have that perky shape when you're doing liposculpting. You're going to have more of a global deflation, but for some people, they'd rather have that and get back on the horse, as they say, get back into life in a couple of weeks rather than a couple of months that you have with a more traditional surgery.
Okay. So with that, you're talking not removing any skin in these situations, or can you remove some skin as well?
You can. You can.
If needed to.
You absolutely can. And because you're doing a liposuction reduction, it does take a little bit longer, but they're numb for hours and hours and hours after you're done. So you can carefully remove some skin, and rather than cutting out a pedicle where you have to make sure that you have vascular supply, if you're just removing a little ellipse of skin on the inframammary fold, for instance, as long as the nipple areolar complex stays well vascularized, leave that alone. Mm-hmm. You know, we could just move it up on the skin without interrupting its blood supply at all and take a little skin underneath if we need to, or a little skin up here if we need to. But the preference is, you know, 3 incisions per side, go through the 3-millimeter incisions with the rotary power cannula, very carefully sculpt things out according to the grids that we've laid out when people are vertical, and then walk away. So, you know, they have no visible incisions mm-hmm. to deal with. They have a little bit of drainage over the first 2 to 4 days, and then that stops. And we do lymphatic massage in the office for, you know, once a week for about 6 weeks, and then they're ready for pictures.
That's the downtime on that procedure is much less than if they were to have a full mastopexy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's absolutely true. But, you know, it's often for the older gal or the middle-aged gal that's just, you know, gone through, they're tired of having macromastia, and insurance won't cover the reduction, and they're looking for some way that's not going to keep them out of work or away from the family or whatever, and they just want to have less tissue there overall.
Well, I will say that I wanted a mastopexy. I wanted, you know, I had some old implants and some laxity in skin over years of nursing babies, and we went in to do that, and you actually found my cancer that had gone undiagnosed several years in a row. So, you know.
The importance of sending tissue out for pathology.
That's right. And who knew? So that started my journey. So just, I think this is something that a lot of women of my age group are looking to do, whether they've had implants from many years ago or just with laxity and skin, nursing babies, and now they're ready to have things kind of lifted up again. And, you know, I'm so fortunate that you caught that and found it. And
we are.
Yes, we are. And we moved on from that. So I think this is a lot of women are calling about these types of procedures. So,
yeah. And some gals just want a little bit of a lift. And, you know, we have the ability to not remove fat, to just tunnel the tissue and use our Renuvion device to lift the upper pole and cause a little bit of elevation. But if you don't take some of the weight off of the tissue or move the skin, you know, cut the skin and move it around, you don't get a lot of elevation. You might get a centimeter or so, sometimes two. But the Renuvion has done pretty well for that. It's almost the same amount of trauma to the tissue as, because you're tumescing it, you're infiltrating it. you're doing the Renuvion superficially and deep to get the whole fibroceptal network to kind of contract upwards. You're just not doing the inferior pole. You want to let that flexible, leave that flexible to come up. But still, no visible insertion sites and some elevation there. And you can take a little bit of fat out carefully, particularly the side boob. Mm-hmm. Leave the cleavage, take the side boob. Life is good. And you can kind of restructure things and get a little lift. Once the breasts have healed totally, then you can do your magic with all of the external non-ablative things that we do for broadband light and vascular and pigment laser and things like that, and all the different things that we do to clean up the décolleté, mm-hmm. and get rid of the vascular and the pigment marks and the texture issues and stuff like that.
Rejuvenate that.
Yeah, tissue, rejuvenate that skin as well.
And healthier.
So that's all part of the package that we put together for breast rejuvenation, enhancement, and all that kind of good stuff.
I think this is such a great conversation to have, because I think so many people are just not even aware that this is an option. So I'm
glad we've tried to keep people abreast of it.
That's right.
Anyway.
And the dad jokes continue.
And the dad jokes continue. Anyway, thanks for joining us for another episode of Aesthetic Revolution, the podcast. We appreciate you. Please ask questions. We love to answer questions. Like, look, listen, share, and all that good stuff. And we'll see you again for another episode. Thanks for watching.